Huh?
Hey, welcome to the Rogue Show, everybody. It's Friday night. Sorry, I'm tied up. I'm watching live AFC 19 action right now. And while we do this show, we will talk the co-main and the main event, which are both title fights. But first and foremost, shout out to my sponsors, Ink Tank Tattoo, man. You guys want great work, check them out. Great artists, world-renowned guys work there. You'll love the place. Best Sports Bar in Oregon for MMA, cold beer, and just a badass atmosphere. Clock Tower Pub. That place is the shit, folks. Check it out. Big shout out also to Vision Smoke Shop and Glass Distribution. Whether you need a piece or you need to fill the shelf, the shop shelves, they've got it all, from wholesale to single cell. Also, Clinch Custom Mouth Guards, getclinch.com. These boys do the best work for the best price with the top quality. Nobody can touch them. Period. Get clinched. Join the clinch army today, folks. And MMAMadhouse.com. Always supporting local MMA across the world. You guys know how we bring it. We're not Zuffa zombies. We love to show the local fighters the love they deserve. Everybody, welcome to the Rogue Show tonight. I got Joel from Arkansas's Madhouse. And right now we also have the owner of Clinch Custom Mouth Guards, Jeff, with us. What's up, killer?
Well, you know, Naked Radio.
Oh, yeah, well, for you folks out there right now, Shane Campbell, Jesse Ronson, AFC lightweight title going down as we talk. Listen to this. Here we go.
Fight will be five-minute round for the AFC lightweight title. Introducing first, fighting out of the blue corner, this man is an MMA fighter, standing 5'9" tall. Yesterday, he weighed in 154.2 pounds with a record of 12
wins. Oh, this is
going to
be a sick fight. Sick
fight. Out of Adrenaline Training Center.
Okay, we'll do a little round by round for you guys as the fight goes. We got a couple hours, folks. I think we're, you know, I got to work in the morning, but you know what? For the fans, fuck it. I'm going to push through. We're going 3 hours tonight. You heard it, folks. 3 hours. There's just too much to talk. And, of course, you guys all know we'll end up talking about that stupid fucking card tomorrow. But we always do.
Cage Sport?
Mm. No. Oh, we love Cage Sport. Oh, hey, Joel, There you go.
Yeah.
You there, buddy?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Right now, folks, dude, tomorrow's, just stacked cards, man, everywhere. Jeff K. Sport, you brought it up. We just got the weigh-in results. It's interesting. Fighters made weights. Fighters didn't make weights. But I don't. If anybody out there is watching AFC 19, great. If you're not, go to GoFightLive.tv, and you guys check it out, man. Or go to MMAMadhouse.com, and on the results page, there's a hyperlink to the paper, the internet pay-per-view. Remember, you buy it once, you own it for life. Here we go. Touch of gloves, folks. Let's do this.
How beautiful this matchup is.
Oh, look, Draco Impact Armor. You folks should check them out. See him on the corner pad.
Two guys that love to fight. Two guys that were born to fight.
Hey, Jeff, this card has had some fucking insane fights. It opened up with two fights that could easily be fight of the night, both. Back to back. Oh, he got dropped. Dude, Shane Campbell just got dropped. Oh, he's back up, spinning heel kicks. Oh, here, folks. I wish you guys listened to it.
Bronson is now going to think about this takedown. Wrestling is very, very good. You know, if you can slow this man down. Campbell doing a nice job. Got the shin across the thigh, looking for that over. That whizzer on the left arm.
This is like old school baseball, bitches. When we only had AM radio.
So pulling up underneath
this
the right arm.
This is how you did it when you listened to a boxing match. You remember that shit, Jeff? Back in the day when we listened to sports on the radio.
Takedown right here. This may be about fatigue. Yeah. This may be about changing the combat distance so that Campbell has to think about it. Or Ronson got tagged. But it was Ronson with the biggest shot with that straight right hand. But Ronson was also able to see how.
And he's got a deep single leg, but he can't get him down.
Yeah.
Oh, they pushed them right on the cage.
These guys just absolutely comfortable in this. You know, Ronson's an odd but lovable character, and nowhere does he seem more himself than in the cage. And Shane Campbell, the exact same thing.
Okay, so right now they're kind of stalling, man.
Very impressive, Campbell. I knew that Ronson had a nice game in tight here.
You know, I mean, they're really not doing much.
His head well.
Oh, he tries to throw an elbow on the break, but he comes back up. The ref's going to end up breaking him. If he's any kind of good ref, he's not going to let him just sit there. But there we go. They broke on themselves. Back to the center of the cage. Little striking exchange. Dude. Ooh!
Ronson is firing with the hands.
Ugh. Bronson's got fast hands, folks. He's throwing 4 or 5 hit combos.
Maybe he had a superiority over Shane. Now he'll look to twist and take down. Yes, Shane was the loser there, the overhook. Kind of a dogfight position here.
Nasty
swap. Neck weight reaches the 180 mark from 155. So he is a big, strong guy, and he's in great shape. Campbell's been in great shape his whole combat sports life.
Dude, Jeff, I tell you, and I'll go back to it. It was the Jamark Bradley versus Travis Cardinal fight. Dude, I take that back. It was Ben Jansen, De Silva fight. Dude, De Silva's picking this dude Jansen apart for 2 rounds, bro. I mean, just beautiful fight, you know. Jansen is working. Honestly, he worked enough off his back in round one.
I'm curious what
you could have possibly given him round. Oh, big elbow! Boom! And they're back to exchange deep and dirty, folks. De Silva, you know, he kept total control, you know, GSP kind of thing, dry hump you for 15 minutes, and he just wasn't, to me, doing a dominating amount of damage, but he was winning the fight, being on top. But Jansen from the bottom was trying and trying and trying. And finally, Jansen was able to get him to slip over the back. And boom, next thing you knew, homeboy was straight blasted hooks and rear naked choke, stretched out, fight over. It was a great fight. Hold on, let's see who we got. Hey, 267, who do we got with us?
Hey, this is Tim Cutts from GFL About TV. How's it going, guys?
Hey, Tim from GFL. What's up, killer? We're actually watching AFC live on the air right now, talking about it as it happens.
Yeah, from what I heard, I haven't gotten a chance to tune in. I was working tonight. From what I heard, it's a great event. I heard there's a little bit of technical difficulties. So what I want to do is, like, this is going to benefit everybody, not just the people that bought AFC 19 tonight. But tomorrow, before the UFC starts, I'm going to put on GFL for free a replay of ROC 31, where the main event fighter of UFC 162, Chris Weidman, took on tough finalist Jeriah Hall. So I'm going to put that whole card up to replay for free on GFL around noon Eastern time.
Okay, so hey, which event is this again? I'm going to put this up right now on social media.
It's ROC 31, where Chris Weidman took on Uriah Hall.
ROTC 31.
Or ROC, Ring of Combat 31.
Okay, Ring of Combat. So, dude, straight up, the fights have been great tonight, man. While I'm getting this up, it's still, you know, what we were just talking about. The first two fights to open the night were fight of the night, man. I mean, they were just great wars. And they've had great fights, and I'll be honest. Technical issues happen. I was talking to somebody this on Facebook earlier that, you know, whether it's the MFC, the UFC, M1, Glory, they've all had technical issues over the years.
Invitka.
It's part of the sport. It's because we're all just now getting to this technology stage to where thousands and millions of fans use services, you know, on the internet. And with a service like you have, which nobody else has, you provide combat sports worldwide to fans, you know, at a local level. You know, it's bound to have problems, but the thing is, even if you do, you guys always make it right with the replays for life. I mean, I know that we've got a ton of events from you guys that we've watched over the last year and a half, 2 years, and, you know, some of them might have technical issues, but we've always been able to go back and watch them on the replay with no problem. So, you know, that's one thing folks need to understand. Sometimes these promoters are just, they're trying to do their best and they're learning. And, it, you know, when they come to GFL, it's because they want that, you know, experience and that platform to open their eyes to fans around the world.
I mean, yeah, and sometimes the problem could be out of both the promoter and GFL's hands. Sometimes it could just be the internet connection at the venue. There has to be a certain upload speed, a certain download speed to be able to stream an event flawlessly. And sometimes, you know, I've been in a situation where I was working at an event doing the play-by-play, and the internet was just up and down. Like, the speeds change, and stuff like that happens. I mean, it's over the internet. Where else are you going to get to see the card? So even if you miss a fight or two live, you're still going to be able to catch up on demand. And I understand everybody's, like, people want to see these fights live. That's what they pay to happen. And, you know, I try to make it right. I try to make sure, well, definitely they're going to be able to witness it again and again and again for life. But, you know, once in a while there's a few issues. So I'll try to do something like I'm doing that for tomorrow for everybody, not just the people that ordered, but everybody's going to be able to relive Chris Weidman versus Uriah Hall. Two guys that, you know, even though Hall lost the final fight on Tough, he's still a guy that's well known that was tearing through the competition. And he back in ROC 31, he fought the guy that's going to be fighting for the middleweight title of the world against the number one or two, depending on how you say a pound for pound fighter in the world. And you know what? I got to give a shout out to Ring of Combat. They seen these guys when they were young. They've had a ton more prospects that made it over to the UFC. Them, you know, CFFC, they're another one. A lot of their fighters now are showing up on a Tough cast. And they're going to be making a statement with their young fighters making their way up. Like, when you see these guys in the future, you're going to be able to go back on GFL and watch fights like Chris Weidman versus Uriah Hall, or watch whoever is on these tough casts or these guys that could be future world champions, and you'll be able to go back and watch that one day on GFL when you want to see these fights that without GFL you wouldn't be able to see.
Hey, no, that's very true. We were actually, you know, we've talked about, you know, some of the fights we've seen on your service. There's one in particular group that, you know, traditionally always does their events on your service, and that's Ultimate Reno Combat. And they have produced and had some of the greatest amateur fights that, you know, I've ever seen. They consistently put on great events on there, and there's nowhere else you're going to see it.
Yeah, and their owner, Rick Cullough, he's a great guy. He's got a great mind for the sport, and he's consistent. Consistently putting on great events. What are they? They're up in the 40s now, and he's one of the top dogs in amateur mixed martial arts. And it's not even like they put on, you know, some amateur pro like CFFC does and Ring of Combat does. Like, I like that too. Don't get me wrong, I love that idea. But he's putting on these exciting shows on a company that's lasted for 42 events. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm just estimating around 42 events. And it's just consistent, nonstop action. So you got to take your hats off to that, guys like that.
Oh, I 100% agree. And, you know, so, you know, for the fans out there, you know, I mean, we're all talking, and so everybody out there knows, Ronson just won the title with a rear naked choke in round two at AFC 19. You know, when people buy these from you and they get this on demand, you know, and they, you know, the best thing about this deal, and folks, I really want you to understand this, is 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, I believe that isn't your service on Roku as well? As, you know, you can get it on iPads, you can get it on cell phones.
Not every fight is available on Roku or an iPad. A lot of them, most of them are available on the iPad or any type of Apple device. Not all of them are available on Roku, but a good amount of them. But I got a Roku box, and, man, I absolutely love it. Not just because of GFL, but because you can do everything on Roku. You can get Netflix, you can get Hulu, you can get all that. But, I mean, just having GFL really tops it off, and not to mention for boxing fans out there, they have Wealth TV. And I think Wealth TV costs like $1 a month. And they put on like at least two good fights a month. For only $1 a month, so I tip my hat to them. But to be able to watch GFL, I remember when it came out on Roku. This was before like everybody knew to just plug your computer in the HDMI port and watch it on your TV. When it first came out on Roku, it was amazing to be able to watch it on TV.
Oh yeah, there's no like,
and you get better quality.
That is one of the sickest things. We were talking about that. But, you know, it's funny, though, with today's HDMI, like when I take my BlackBerry tablet and through the HDMI and plug it into the big screen, GFL is as crystal clean on that 50 inch as can be.
Well, yeah, because, like, we try to get out of our way, and promoters do it now, too, to get those HDMI, to be able to record it in HD. Now, don't get me wrong, not all promoters can afford to put it on HD, which I'm fine with. I'd rather the product get out there on a standard definition camera than not get out there at all. But when they're putting it on an HD, you get a crystal clear. But another thing I wanted to ask you guys' opinion on, we just started doing it the best of. We did the best of June this month with all the GFL cards. We featured a bunch of cards, had an interview with George Sullivan and more. And it broadcast on Comcast during our GFL Real Fights time slot, but it's available on GFL. I don't know if you guys got a chance to check it out, but if you did, what are your thoughts?
I'll be honest. I didn't know it was on GFL. Truthfully, I thought it was just on Comcast, and since I don't get Comcast in my area, you know, So that's really cool. Now, which section would I find it on?
I'm pretty sure it's on the on-demand section right now.
Okay.
I would have to double-check. I got a chance to catch it when they streamed it live the other day, and I was just fascinated. It came a long way. And it was one of those things that I've been pushing for a long time, to do a best of every month. I think it would be great, whether you charge a little bit or you do it for free. I think it's a great way just to recap an entire month of fights. And another thing we're going to have coming up, we're going to be making the website a little bit more interactive news-wise. We're going to look for the best knockout of the month, the fight of the month, and stuff like that, because it's something, more interactive, gets more fans be able to take part in this, be able to vote on it. And, it's good for the fighters, too, to be able to be hundreds of fights a month, to be win the fight of the month would be a real honor to these younger guys. Now, don't get me wrong.
I agree now.
UFC's $50,000 bonus for fight of the night, but at least you get that recognition. Instead of being the best of 1 in 10 fights, you're going to be the best of 1 in hundreds of fights, or at least 100 fights in a month.
I mean, look, Jim, we got Jeff, the owner of Clinch Custom Mouthguards, on with us tonight. He's also a sanctioning body and a referee and a judge, correct, Jeff? Well, maybe he doesn't want to talk.
Jeff, you there?
Okay. Yeah. And Jeff, I got to ask you, you go to probably more fights than the average human does in their life in a month, but how many times have you seen great knockouts or great subs at the local level?
Oh, all the time.
So, and I mean, I know you as well as Madhouse and a few other people up in the Pacific Northwest when they're at events, we record that stuff heavy. I mean, it'd be great to see more fighters sending in some tape to you guys. Because, I mean, let's be honest. You guys do a best of, and you guys put Jared Torgensen knocking out some kid. A lot of people might not know who Jared Torgensen is outside of his region, but when they watch your show, they see it. Maybe they go through and find out that he's on one of the events you had, or a Cage Warrior Combat event, or Ultimate Reno when he was an amateur. I mean, because you do have fighters listed by events on there, so if a fighter's fought multiple times, all his events are listed on your site.
Yeah, you could just type in their name in the search button. But, Jeff, I just wanted to say, it's a pleasure to finally talk to you. I heard a lot about you. I'm a big fan of Clinch, so keep doing what you're doing with that.
Thank you. Don't believe much of what you heard, but thank you.
Don't believe what you heard. That's funny. That's Jeff for you. Dude, well, I got to say that, GFL, man, you guys know I'm a huge fan. Right now, We got one of the sickest fights in all of Canada that has happened all year long. It's guaranteed one of the most hyped fights out there, and that's Michael Hill out of Toshida MMA versus TriStar MMA's Ryan Ford. Guys, this is for the title, man, at 170, folks. This will be a very, very interesting fight.
Real deal. It's Clinch.
Are they both clinched or just Ryan Ford?
It's Ryan Ford. He's my poster. All my marketing stuff's got him. He's the black guy.
Oh.
The guy with funny hair.
That's right. That's right. He's the guy in the big logo with the mohawk, with the hair color, with the Clinch cutout.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I know what you're talking about. Well, folks, he's getting greased up pretty good right now. So this big title fight is going to start soon. I can't wait. But hey, I got to ask you, what we got you, Tim? You're talking about ROC tomorrow, but let's let the folks also know. Not only do you have pay-per-view, you have free events. You've also got Prison City Fight League presents Shakedown, folks. 7 title fights, 20 of the best amateur fighters in the state of Michigan throwing it down under unified rules. How insane is that? Man, this is a great league. It's got a big following. I'm happy to see it on there. Did I lose two? Well, folks, that's another event tomorrow. If I lost everybody, I don't know why.
I'm sorry. I accidentally hit my mute button. I was just saying, Prison City Fight League, just the name brings excitement. It's a unique name. It's something different. And the cards they bring to the table are excellent. I'm very excited for Prison City Fight League coming up tomorrow night.
Yep. So, folks, that's another reason to have your GFL account. Because you can jam that one out and listen, watch it, and have a good time. But one of the cool things you also have on your site is you guys have podcasts, radio shows, blog shows, whatever folks want to call them. And you guys have more than just one or two. You guys cover boxing, wrestling, MMA, BJJ. I mean, there's every sport you could talk about you guys have a show for pretty much.
Yeah, a lot of them, and I'll be honest with you, I was slacking a little bit. A lot of them have went and they're gone, and they're still up on the schedule. But the shows we do have, like your guys' shows, that's how I became a fan, and that's how we have these working relationships. Every show you guys put on is excellent. We broadcast them, on demand. I believe it's the next day for everybody to hear again. So if they're not able to catch the show, they can always tune in to GFL the next day, and it's up there, and it's able to listen to, and fans get to hear all the great, great MMA talk that they missed the day before.
Yeah, and, that's something, hopefully this week or next, I'll be able to shoot you all the finalized logos to update, because now we all got, matching kind of single-ized logos, but that's the thing is,
my job harder.
Hey, hopefully it's just a cut and paste for you. But you guys do killer. You guys have some killer boxing shows on there for real with some amazing, amazing guests. And that's something that fans, they can come to your site for boxing. They can come to your site. Sometimes you guys have soccer events. You guys have been doing that flat track motorcycle racing out of Southern Cali, which is some pimp shit for real.
Yeah, there's always something different. Whether, like you said, you got the motocross, you got even soccer. For fans that want to catch some of those soccer games that you just can't catch, thanks to our friends over at Integrated Sports Pay-Per-View, you're able to catch it worldwide online, too. Because, Integrated Sports, great pay-per-view company, they bring to the TV what we bring to the Internet. You're able to watch some of the events. Now, not as many of us, granted, but some events that you can't catch on regular TV, they offer it on pay-per-view, like DirecTV pay-per-view, for a lower price than your average pay-per-view. You're not going to have to pay $50, $60. You pay anywhere between, normally it's $14.95 to $24.95 in that price range. But for most of the cards...
$17.99 is the best.
For most of the cards, you're able to watch it on GFL. Unfortunately... And I'm sad to say, right now, Invicta will not be broadcasting on GFL. But hopefully we get a deal worked out soon. I know. I was looking forward to it. I knew you guys were.
Yeah, but that's all right. We've got the man behind Prison City Fight League with us tonight, Muggs. How you doing, buddy?
Morning.
Dude, let's talk a little bit about this card tomorrow on GFL. Dude, 7 title fights. How sick is that?
Dude, if you guys only knew who these people were, in the Michigan scene, we're talking the Brown brothers, Devin and Dale Brown. You got the Mandel brothers both fighting. And you got Mo Williams. You got Brandon. Okay, let's go like this. Mo Williams, 155, has only fought 4 fights, and nobody in the state will fight him. They're that scared of him. 4 fights, and, he can't get a match. So, finally, he pulled up a match in Meech Graham, and Meech Graham bitched out one more time. Same thing as last time. Oh, I hurt myself. Well, don't train so hard, asshole, And so Meech backed out again, so they actually got a really good fight for him in, Jarrell Simpson, man. If you guys have been keeping up with what I've been doing, the last Prison City Fight League show, Jarrell Simpson fought Krushan, Andrew Krushan, which is like one of the major top freaking 155ers in the state. And, I mean, like, epic, dude, a 24-3 record kind of thing. You know what I'm saying? And so anyways, man, the card is freaking awesome. So then the Brown brothers are here, and you got Dale Brown, who's like a freaking one-punch knockout king at 145, and you got Mr. Strategy, Brandon Sanford, the Sequoia. Brandon Sequoia Sanford's coming in there with the Strategy Master, man. I mean, this guy absolutely will pick you apart. He will not let you touch him. He don't care how you swing. He will not let you touch him, and he will figure out where your holes are, and he will take you. And it's just going to be awesome, man. One of my good friends, Anthony Michael. Now, Brandon Sanford, glad to say we got our label on them, you know, put a logo on their butt. And and then my buddy Anthony Michael, man, who is right now, I believe, 10-3, 9-2. God, I can't remember his last day. Anyway, either way, he is a good friend, man. He helps me do all sorts of stuff. And this kid, if you guys want to see what a tough 135, 145, 155 series looks like, it's straight up, man. Prison City Fight League brings them every time. And then there's other promotions I cover, and you guys know, man, I mean, they got great heavyweights. And it's like everyone's got their own little niche, you know. It's pretty crazy. But anyway, so who else am I on the line with, man? I heard another broadcaster's on here, no?
Yeah. We've got Tim from GFL. We've got Joel from Madhouse in Arkansas. We've got Jeff from Clinch Cuts the Mouth Guards.
Hey, Jeff.
He's probably muted. He's probably grinding away at the mouth guard.
He said fuck mugs. I'm not talking to mugs. If you guys put fucking mugs on the show, I'm out of here.
I tell you what, though, on behalf of GFL, I'm excited to have Prison City Fight League on tomorrow night.
Well,
I'm looking forward to the event.
Actually, you guys are actually what's happened is you guys are actually pulled on Amateur Combat Sports Live, aka ACS Live TV. So you guys are not only going to have Prison Fight League from now on, you guys are going to have every company I broadcast for in the state. Every promotion is going to be coming through and be able to be seen on GFL, man. So we're going to be able to work with each other on broadening this network out, man, and really taking control and kicking Axis right in the teeth, you know what I'm saying? We got some concerts coming up and some stuff like that, and we're really glad to be on board with GFL. You know, and I think that
well,
our powers combined,
you
guys with the Jersey
you
side, you know.
Me and you need to exchange information through Skippy because I do basically the promotion and the marketing when it's leading up to the fight or the event. So
right on. And who am I speaking with?
Working hand in hand to promote these events.
Who am I speaking with?
Oh, my name's Tim Cudges.
Right on, Tim. I've talked with Dave and Keith so far to get everything set
great
up.
Great guys.
And, Tim, it's a pleasure to meet you, man. And I really look – I have a lot of great stuff coming up. I know everybody does, man. But, you know, if it's material – ask Skippy and them. If it's material you guys want, man, I got it coming out my ears, bro. It's just
Skippy,
awesome down here.
Shoot this man's contact information after the show so I can get in contact with you early next week and we'll start plugging away.
Oh, definitely, definitely. You know, Muggs is not lying. I mean, I would say last year, I would say what, about 8 different leagues, maybe 15 fights, 16 fights that I saw that you were doing?
Yeah, probably what was visible, yeah. I mean, there's some guys that didn't pay, so they didn't get their shit posted. You know what I'm saying? But,
We feel you
but
on
hey,
that one.
Dude, that's the, you know, that's the chops of this industry, man. Right? Right, Tim?
You gotta pay to play.
Right,
yep.
Man. But you guys, man, AFC was on tonight, man. And if I'm not mistaken, isn't that the Australian? Oh, no, that's aggression.
Oh,
okay, man.
Aggression.
I thought that was Australian AFL, man. I was thinking that was Cyrus Fee's bit, like the one he announces for out there.
Yeah, no,
you guys
no. This one, they've got
Cyrus,
the voice. No, voice, Don, was it Shelio? The voice. He does all our commercials, actually. He's the
announcer
for this one. Yeah.
We got a guy
Ryan
here who calls the voice. Fill the voice, Davey.
See, everybody's
anyway,
got the
sorry,
voice.
Let me interrupt you, man.
Oh, shit. You know how we do it on this show? Hey, we're all just a bunch of fools hanging out in the industry. That's what we do every Friday night, Mug. You've done this show so many times.
Yeah, I know.
I tell you what,
because it's not that it's bad that it's not structured. It's just that everybody, there's so many of us on here on Friday nights that it's not like your normal radio show where you and the host are talking to a guest. You know,
Live Coast, my best friend, but my worst enemy at the same time.
Yeah. Hey Tim, man. So what's why don't you give me a scoop, man? Even if you got to rehash it from something you talked about, give me some more info on GFL, man. Why is it I'm so happy I'm involved with you guys now?
And it GFL is great on so many different levels. First, like Skippy loves, and a lot of people love the fact that we're getting the cards you couldn't see on a pay-per-view or on Fox or on Spike, you're able to see on GFL. And when you order it once, say you order it live, you're able to go back and watch it for the rest of your life on GFL on demand.
Right.
So
right.
It's just not like one hit and then it's done. If you missed any action, if you went to the bathroom, if you blinked, you're going to miss some action. But with GFL, you're able to go back and watch that action again and again and again.
Yeah.
Not to mention the promotion and marketing train behind GFL. We don't just post an event and just go, okay, this event's up there, great. People can go to the website and get it. Now, if there's a good amount of time before that event, we promote the hell out of these events. We want to get these fighters out there. We have Twitter Q&As. We have radio press conferences. We have every sort of thing that you can to get these fighters' names out here, to get Prison City Fight League's name out there, for example. We take care of these guys. So it's not only like you're just broadcasting an event for us. You have a publicist. You have a marketing team that are going to allow you to focus on selling tickets to the live event. Let us focus on selling those pay-per-views.
Yeah, and I did a test run, right? You know, I mean, of course, getting my broadcaster set up, man. I fired up the computer. I'm talking with our man Keith back in the tech department. And, you know, he's like, hey, you know, just all simple as this, just throw this code in. So he set me up with a new XML. Now, the company I was using before, which I will not ever name again, ever. And the company I was using before, when I was pushing the same, as a matter of fact, I had to go less. Now, if anybody here knows anything about video and you're putting out videos, Skippy, you guys put out a few videos in here, you know, you can go down to like low high def, which is like 780, 720, excuse me. And that's all well and good, or 740. But with the company I was using, I had to go down to 740, 480 in order to push through their broadcaster. Because there was so much lag created. But the minute I fired up, and I'm not even kidding, whoever's listening, man, you guys are in for a treat, because the minute I fired up, everything was smooth, sound was on track, everything was golden, man. It turns out it wasn't my system that was screwing me up, it was the broadcasting company I was using. And now I'm glad you guys got an in-house service, man. You guys got in-house servers. You got in-house tech department. You know, you got a great website. You got it easy to traverse, too, man. There's three sections or two sections. Do you want internet or do you want cable? And then do you want MMA? Do you want boxing? Or do you want concerts? You know, I mean, or wrestling, excuse me, you know. And it's just so freaking easy, man. It's going to be great. I really think this marriage is going to be pretty cool. might just last on this one, Tim.
Another thing about us, like, if you're promoting an event on our website through us, it's not like, you know, a client relationship. I'm trying to think of a word. I can't think of it, but, you know.
No, not at all. As a matter of fact, Keith gave me his phone number. You know, he gave me his phone number, and he was on the way to his airport to pick up his brother-in-law. And he's like, hey, man, thanks for calling. He goes, look, I'm on the way to the airport. I got to pick up my brother-in-law. I'll get home. Do you mind if I call you when I get there? I'm like, no problem. Thank you for being human,
yeah,
for God's sake, you know.
With me personally, it could be 3:30 in the morning. You could be out drinking all night. Be 3:30 in the morning, you have a great idea come across you to promote a fight or promote a whole event where you want to, you have a special idea to promote a certain fighter to get them out there to get a little bit more recognition towards the event, you can call me. I don't give a shit. 3:30 in the morning, 4 o'clock in the morning, it doesn't matter. If there's a good event, a good idea that's going to benefit us, call my cell phone. And we'll put that event in the play, or that idea in the play.
Sweet. Are you from Jersey, too?
Actually, I'm originally from Philadelphia, but I live in Arizona right now.
Oh, right on, right on. Cool, cool. Cool, cool, man. Skippy.
Yeah, buddy.
How you doing, man?
Dude, we're killing it, man. It's been a, you know, busy over here. You know, we're really happy that, you know, you guys are joining up, man. Like, you know, we've been big supporters of you. We love what you do. You know, I'm hoping to see you flex some muscle up in the Pacific Northwest at some of these events, man. Honestly,
I would love to, man.
I've been pushing that, dude, because, I mean, look, there's the perfect marriage, man. You go out and film it, GFL pushes it, everybody wins. The fans get to see it, and, it just needs... Go ahead.
I got high aspirations for that model right there, brother. I really think I know what GFL does. I've been watching you guys, Tim. Like my life and background. My Nick is the keystroke guru, right? My online Nick. I'm your keyboard guru, your keystroke guru, right? You go to that.com. That's me. Anyways, the point is I've been watching you guys, bro, because, hey, man, I'm marketing the same shit you are. You know what I'm saying? Excuse my language, but, you know, it's freaking 1:42 in the morning in Michigan, and, you know, I'm a little loose. So, but the point is, man, is I've been watching you guys, man, and, you know, you guys got it going on, but you're really relying on a lot of people like me that push stuff or single promoters that have their own film crew. But there's a lot of promoters that don't have their own film crew, and I know you guys get calls for that, and I know you don't have the Midwest covered. Well, guess what, man? I can travel, and I got an 11-cam system, so you go ahead and get a hold of me, bro. We'll make some people freaking pee their pants when they see their video work after it's done.
That's what I'm talking about. Things. Go ahead.
I was going to say, and that's my pitch. My name is Mitch, and that's my pitch.
Sorry guys, I'm getting hit up for people. They're asking me who's winning the fight, and it looks like 1:54, guys, for everyone listening. Ryan Ford has got 2 rounds up. He's got, looks like, about side control, pushed up against the cage, just kind of working out the last 1.5 minutes, so looks like he will be the new champion over there, folks. Remember, GFL TV, man, you can get it tonight, tomorrow, next week. I think it's, you know, going to be sick to see you get out and start, you know, doing events all over the country. Because, man, look, you know, your videos are always clean. They're done well.
Thanks.
Even when we see your goofy ass on there with the kids, you know.
Dude,
one intermission with
amazing...
the kid through there. That was hilarious.
The kid fighting? The kids fighting, or?
No, you guys had an intermission on a show, and some kids came up, and you were letting them mess with the broadcast and talk.
Oh, my God, at Mad Men MMA, I remember that, bro.
Yes.
That was like 30 shows ago. But, yeah, those kids wouldn't leave me alone, man.
Yeah, but it was hilarious.
Horrible.
For fans, they were laughing so hard.
I was giving their moms the look, too, like, hey, I'm live right now, okay? Your kid is over here asking me how many minutes till this match is over. Bro, Tim, if you only knew, I don't know, man, how you're in the marketing end of things, man, but on the broadcasting end of things, there's some horror stories, bro. I've had some, I've had blood all over my equipment. I've had to take alcoholic Q-tips and clean my shit down, man. I've had drunk ladies come over and swear to God I was the DJ and trying to get me to play a song and getting pissed at me all night long because I won't play Booty Shake, whatever they want to hear, man. And like,
well,
I'm like, I'm not the
shake.
DJ. I'm not the freaking DJ, man. Oh, it's hilarious, man. It's been a wild year, bro, and 67 shows now. You know,
cool.
67 shows.
What are some of the fights? What are some of the fights we can look at for tomorrow? Some of them, I know all fights are going to be good, but what are some of the ones that are going to stand out, like potential fight of the night?
Always Patrick Freese, man. If you want to know anything about anybody in Michigan, Patrick Freese is a 4-0 fighter. He's spent maybe a minute 45 in the ring total, I think.
Jesus.
And, yeah, man, and he's just a beast, bro. And he actually had to gain weight because nobody at 205 would touch him, would even want to sign up. And I mean, these are all my Jackson guys, man. These are the guys coming from the city I'm in, and I'm sound like I'm being partial. But, bro, if I go out of city, and I'm talking about, like, my friends at UFL, you know, I mean, that's, you know, Merjon Flowers, there's 155, you know, and like, Jonathan Dutton, you know, a great 155, but in the heavyweight classes, man. Yeah, you're looking at Patrick Freese as an amazing fight of the night. Brandon Sanford versus Dale Brown, those will be on later in the evening. Patrick Freese will be on more than likely before the last intermission, so you'll be able to catch that fight in the middle of the evening. So whoever's watching, make sure you're tuning in all night long. You know, who knows when I'll re-upload that bad boy? Or doesn't it go into straight record now, Tim?
Oh, what? When we're gonna upload it for on demand?
Yeah, like when I upload it after I've broadcasted.
Honestly, the technical side, I really don't know much about
Tim.
That Keith's department.
Tim.
I mean, I could make up and pretend I know what I'm talking about. I'm normally good at that. But because you're friends with everybody on the show, I feel like I shouldn't sling some bull.
Yeah, please don't BS me, man. I would probably call you out on it, man. That's what my MO is, bro. I'm kind of the mouthy
right?
one in the Michigan MMA world.
All of a sudden he's like, oh, yeah, man, the 48K bit upright. Yeah, we can cover that. And you're like, what the fuck is he talking about?
Well, no, it's the worst when people are bitching about something on Twitter and they want to know what's going on with the stream. Because like I was saying, it's going to be a lot of times, you know, the venue, the internet will go in and out, they'll slow down, speed up. But like,
exactly, man. There's nothing we can do
about
that, you know.
I'm like, apparently God came down and intervened and didn't want you to see this fight. So that's something you're going to have to deal with.
Yeah, it sucks. It really does suck sometimes, man. Now there's some good hardware and software. I know this ain't a tech show, man, but there's some good hardware out there that really takes care of that problem. But at the same time, then they want to trap you into like some serious like fees and crap like that, man. And you know, I'm a pirate anyway. But
the good thing about GSL, like we were saying earlier. If something does happen, say that the feed goes out for a minute and you miss a fight, once again, for life, if you ordered that card, you can go back for life, or as long as GFL exists, which I'm hoping is for life, you'll be able to watch that fight again and again and again. Now, it's granted, I side with the customer, and it sucks if you're really looking forward to a fight and you miss it live, but some stuff happens, and, you know, you still get to see it. You're still not going to miss that fight completely. It's not one and done. It happens live. The next day or two, you can watch it again from start to finish.
That's
and
cool.
It doesn't matter what country you're in. It's worldwide.
So once they purchase for life.
Yeah.
Yeah, hey,
that,
look,
that
a good
one
example
event.
Was, yeah, but a good example was, I think it was like 2 weeks ago, I believe it was, Off the Chain, they did a fundraiser at a church in a parking lot, and right at round three when it ended before round four, the city had come in and told them, "You're done. You know, noise, nighttime, your permit." Because the event had 26 fights, and it went a little later into the night than it was supposed to, and it was outdoors, and they made them cut down. They started shutting the thing down, and somebody killed off the switch for the live feed. You know, and hey, not even 30 hours later, that whole fight was up there. So, you know, for me, it was fine as a fan, you know. I was able to go back and watch it, you know. It wasn't due to the fault of either partner, the promotion, nor GFL. It was due to the city coming in and shutting them down. But the whole fight was still put up, which was cool.
Well, what's funny, too, is sometimes with, you know, the commission will get involved in stuff like that. Because we used to, interview fighters after their fights in the ring like anybody else does, like you see on pay-per-views or on HBO Showtime.
Right.
But there's some cities, some commissions, some states that the commissioner's just like, oh, I don't want to be here that long. Like Pennsylvania, for example. I was at an event doing the play-by-play, and we were trying to get in to talk to these guys after the fight because people want to hear that stuff. So every time we would go to get in, the commissioner would be like, I'm not trying to stay around for this. Blah, 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 blah. So we wouldn't be able to give the fans what they want and interview these guys. And it's frustrating when stuff like that, like it's out of the hands of both the promoter and GFL.
That's
but,
a load
know,
of crap, man.
You got to deal with what you got to deal with. Commissioners don't want to do their job that you're paying them to do nothing for anyway. Most of the time.
That's so true.
It's a good state.
Well, I personally know somebody who sanctions fights, and I would say he's less than reputable. But that's just my personal opinion because I know him on a personal level. He's got a very bad cocaine problem and young girls. That's his business, so I won't say his name.
Are you talking about that guy that horrible referee from that mouth custom mouth guard place, right? The one you were telling me about. You were saying Tim Winslow is a better referee than him, right?
Oh! I'm just making sure you're listening, Kim.
I'm pretty sure you said he should just stay in the mouth guard business.
How come everybody automatically assumes it's okay to give Jeff a hard time, man? This guy's probably sitting there developing some sort of plastic explosive mouth guards, and he's going to just get mad at everybody. He's going to be like, oh, here's your free mouth guards, by the way.
Well, what's bad is you just assumed I was talking about Jeff. I could have been talking about somebody else that develops, that makes mouth guards, and is the worst referee than Kim Winslow.
There is nobody else. Kim Winslow.
Don't forget our friends over at Pro-Am Belts. Badass belts. Pro-Am Belts.
That's how you get a plug in like a pro right there.
Dude, yeah, man.
Yeah,
I've gotten used to it, Tim. It's crazy, man. I was never that guy. I've been a waiter. I've worked in factories, all that kind of crap, and I'm really techie, you know. And then all of a sudden I'm putting the freaking camera lens, you know, and I'm like, I got to run this myself. Because, dude, hey, look, man, it's as simple as this, bro. The promoters don't want to come off that much cash to run a full live production. So when you got to improvise, you got to improvise, man. And it turns out I'm apparently a great improviser for the most part.
Don't get me wrong. I do it so much with the cheap plugs now, I don't even realize I'm doing it. I'll be talking to my mom about, like, the upcoming Christmas. Or I'll be at Thanksgiving dinner with my family. They'll be talking about something family-related. I'll be like, hey, guys, don't forget, tomorrow, Friday after Thanksgiving, GFL's going to be hosting an awesome pay-per-view.
Oh, my goodness.
I love it.
I was doing that all day today, man. My new friend, we've been talking a lot and getting to know each other, and freaking everybody's like, Muggs, man, are you losing weight? And I'm like, well, yeah, I'm down from 256 to 217 since February. And they were like, well, what's going on? I was like, my friend Frank Pitino at the Pitino Diet. PitinoDiet.com. Check it out today. Like,
dude,
buy
how do you
book.
Lose so much weight? Oh, you know, I tried diet and I tried a lot of stuff, but then I started watching motocross on GFL.TV for $9.99. Order now and rewatch for life.
Oh my God, man, that's so funny. Skippy's got to know how this is because basically what we're talking about is, you know, promoting. You know, I mean, promoting yourself. We're not promoters.
It's not like
fights,
a giant billboard.
Yeah,
I am so shameless, like. I'm gangster with the half Mexican side of me, and I'm business savvy with the Jewish side. So I'm like a bad combo, dude. Not only will I whittle you down and get a great deal, but I'll hustle it out like a motherfucking champ.
I'm just glad GFL doesn't send me like multiple T-shirts and hats, or I would be a giant walking billboard.
Well, dude, it's funny you say that because, you know, we sat down the other day and we were doing the numbers because, you know,
at Madhouse, we're getting ready to have some big changes and do some big things. And one of the things is we're getting ready to open a store.
Muay Thai Madhouse.
Yes, Muay Thai Madhouse is definitely something that's going to be talked about really soon. And we were looking at the shirts, dude, and I started looking at it. I was like, you know, I bought 750 shirts in the last year, and I gave away 702 of them. I was like, there's a problem there. I got to open a store quick. I got to quit just giving this shit away.
See, I order a lot of shirts from Get 'em Boy Apparel or Future Legend. You can get them at getemboy.com or futurelegend.com. I mean, they don't pay me to say that, but they're a great couple great companies.
I'm kind of in the same boat, bro. We got Bonafide Tough Guy on ACS Live, and my man Brad over in Grand Rapids don't pay me a dime, but unless I sell shirts, and a lot of times, no, let's keep this a secret. You got to be really quiet about this. Okay, don't be telling nobody. This is just between us.
Okay.
If our advertisers figured out what affiliate programs were, we'd all be fucked.
See, I tell you what, though, a T-shirt company, and the couple T-shirt companies that are listening and sell T-shirts and hats, you guys want plugs, just send Big Time Tim Cudges some T-shirts.
Yeah, right, huh?
Some hats.
Yeah, wear this shit on my show, man. You know, we'll make sure that stuff's on the airwaves on GFL and ACS Live, man. You know, we'll put it out there. We don't care. I'll tweet your shit.
Send me a free shirt. I'll tweet a picture of myself with three drunk girls that makes it look like I got those girls because of that T-shirt. And that's what I'll tell people that happened. I'll be like, I was having trouble picking up girls, but then I got this... Let's just say, Get 'em Boy T-shirt, and that automatically kicked my game up 100%. Now I can't beat them off with a stick.
Oh, I love that one. Dude, that's great. I might have to just send you a Madhouse shirt.
Remember, if you like girls and you like them to like you, wear Get 'em Boy. You'll get laid a lot more.
You get laid a lot.
Actually, I should get paid about $100 just for that one right there.
Dude, I was putting my Get 'em Boy shirt on while you were talking about that and got laid twice before I got it over my head. That's
pretty sure
awesome
Skippy just ordered three.
That was what Bonafide Tough Guy is, the brand name for my buddy Brad in Grand Rapids. He actually, you know, it's a good name. And I was like, man, there's so much crap we could come up with for that, you know. Are you bona fide? And he's like, yeah, we thought of all that. I was like, but are you marketing it? You know, are you marketing it, man? You are truly bona fide. Are you a tough guy? Come on, man. You know?
Forget Axe Body Spray. You just need an MMA Madhouse T-shirt.
That's right.
Ladies,
and folks,
ladies love smiley faces and guys that wear MMA Madhouse T-shirts.
Hey, dude, that's no shit, dude. You wouldn't believe, like, how, dude, like, you guys, anybody who's seen me, dude, like, I'm a horrible person of a human being. I'm just, like, a fat, lazy old guy all tatted up. And I can wear that Madhouse shirt, and, like, chicks are like, what's up, Skip? It's weird, man. Like,
this is turning into a 30-minute infomercial for MMA Madhouse.
Dude, it's crazy.
If you want to improve your quality of life by 100%,
I was promised when I said I would start coming on the Rogue Show that this was a no, what was it, no promoter, no sponsor zone.
No.
Yeah.
I said it,
unless you're talking about MMA Madhouse apparel. Of course.
Yes.
Who doesn't talk about that? I have conversations with my little sister. She's like, man, those shirts are so dope. I'm like, I know those guys.
Hey, Ray,
it makes you better because I know the MMA Madhouse guys.
Hey, I'm a fucking sponsor and a promoter. What are you talking about?
Wait, raise your hands if you know what Black Annie is. Does anybody know what Black Annie is?
No. But if it's a T-shirt and they're sending me free ones, I'll wear it.
No, it's a mix of Afghani Kush and blueberry, and it's absolutely delicious. and that helps this show go by that much better. And I'd like to thank my friends at the Traverse City Center for Compassion for this bag of black ganny that I'm about to toke on right now.
I heard it goes really good with MMA Madhouse t-shirts.
Well, you're watching GFL on demand.
Yeah, well, I'm
picking out one of your favorite episodes from maybe the preceding fight week tomorrow, folks.
You don't even have to go out to clubs anymore. You just post on Facebook like, ladies, all night I got Prison City Fight Week on GFL on my TV right now. Come on over. And then you got 10 girls, no other dudes there. And they're just like, damn, are you wearing an MMA Madhouse t-shirt right now? And then you got
to
pick
and choose. No underwear, no pants, just the MMA Madhouse shirt. That's it.
It's tough because you got to choose between 10 girls, but...
And do you gentlemen know...
MMA Madhouse.
Hey, listen, I know that fighters are trying to be safe, and now I'm being serious, guys, okay? And I know fighters are trying to be safe, and I know they care about their looks and their appearance, but those Clench custom mouth guards, you can do some crazy fellatio with those things in your mouth, man. If you just wore an MMA Madhouse shirt watching Prison City Fight League on Go Fight Live with a Clench custom...
I performed some of that fellatio on a girl with a clenched mouth guard on, and I had an MMA Madhouse t-shirt. It was the first time in the world in my whole life that a girl proposed to me. But, gentlemen, please make sure you wrap it up with a condom, because when you're bringing that kind of heat to the table, girls will try to trap you. They will try to have a baby big time, Tim Cudges. And that's the only downside of rocking MMA, Madhouse apparel, watching GFL, Prison City Fight League on GFL with that clenched mouth guard on. You'll end up like Evander Holyfield and have 32 kids.
No, if you really think about this, this person you're describing, this fucking weirdo that sits around in t-shirts watching pay-per-view fights and not leaving the house, sounds like a freak.
That's our freaking...
Well, no,
dude, that is our...
They could be a freak. If they're wearing, like, a Vans t-shirt and they don't have any clenched mouth guard in and they're not watching GFL, say they're watching the UFC pay-per-view, then, yeah, you know, that's a creeper. Because they don't have the girl. They just turned into a sausage fest.
That's called a fan.
For Anderson Silva's shirtless body.
It's just
body.
It's just a fanboy.
Yeah,
that's all that is.
When you're rocking Prison City Fight League on GFL with MMA Madhouse apparel and a clenched custom mouth guard in your mouth, that's pimping, bro.
That's pure
pimping.
Have you guys seen the winning picture?
And you guys will have my man. You guys, on top of that, now the announcer is going to be none other than Phil the Voice Davies, which is, he's absolutely amazing. He's got his own strength.
I heard he's got that baby-making voice, doesn't he? I heard when he announces, it's just like a panty dropper automatically.
Hey, look, guys, I really am being totally serious right now. There is a group here in Jackson of about 30 girls that buy tickets to the PCFL because Davies is the announcer.
Give me
no
that
joke.
Man's autograph.
They do not
and I'm
care
not
about going to watch. They do like watching the boys in the underwear and stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? They say that, but they say we come to watch Phil. But then on ringside, on commentating, man, I got the Butcher. I got Dave Clifford, man, the Butcher. And I don't know if you guys have ever heard of this guy. This guy's like the king of Monday nights now, man, you know?
Okay.
And I don't know if I'm allowed to mention that, but.
Sure you are.
But,
oh, yeah,
but
guys, just to give it. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, he is, man. He is absolutely bringing on board to his show, like, amazing talent, bro. I mean, and he's best friends with, like, I mean, Severn and freaking our local guys. And he's got the freaking Polar Bear as his co-host, man. Freaking, you remember Paul? Do you know who I'm talking about?
Yes.
So, a UFC Hall of Famer, freaking Paul, freaking whatever, the Polar Bear. And it's funny because the dude went on a meth freaking bender for like the last 5-6 years, and he's back. And he says, I'm feeling better now.
Just to give you guys a heads up, I will be wearing my Clinch custom mouth guard and MMA Madhouse apparel. I'll be doing, I just found out today, I forgot to tell you guys earlier, I'll be doing the play-by-play commentating with another guy or maybe two other guys, I don't know, for Rage in the Cage on GFL August 10th.
Oh, nice, man.
Good,
hey, why don't you do, why don't you do something for me tomorrow?
Commentators were not good.
Yeah, well, they know they want buys, and I'll sell pay-per-views on my own. I did it before with the last card I commentated on. Me and my partner, Dubay, can't be on tonight, but he's on vacation.
The War in the Desert.
What was it called? No, that was the card before it. It was, Mayhem and Mesa.
Yes.
How is Arizona doing on the MMA scene, man? I've been keeping up with a little bit.
You know what?
But basically, I cover AMI stuff, so...
Well, when I moved from Philly, it was kind of dead out here, just combat sports altogether. But now there's fights going on all the time. You know,
yeah,
you got Rage and Rave events, who I did the play-by-play for. Now you got Iron Boy Promotions on the boxing side. You got Rage in the Cage. You got Bad Boy. Like, I'm kind of upset because I got this gig on August 9th for the Rage in a Cage, but also on August 9th, they got this Bad Boy event, which is kind of cool. It's like, it's on the tribal land, so they can adjust the rules to it. So there's like boxing in an octagon. There's,
were you at
Desert
Diamond?
Yeah, well, it's at Fort McDowell in Scottsdale for this event. Desert Diamond, I think, is going to be the, I don't know, Wild Horse is the Rage in a Cage, but these guys actually had. In Scottsdale, on the tribal land, they had the first, in 123 years, the first sanctioned bare-knuckle boxing event, where my guy, Bobby Gunn, won the first sanctioned BKB event against, I forget who he fought, Richard Stewart out of Delaware. But it was the first time this happened in 123 years. I love tribal lands. Because you can just manipulate the rules. They're their own rules. They're their own commission. So they did one thing. It was just stand-up and MMA gloves, but they tweaked the rules to where the round didn't end until somebody went down.
Wow.
That's so you get cool. to do cool stuff like that. Them, I'm trying to work on. I've been pestering them, getting on top of them. Because the promoter that does that does XFE. Over in Philadelphia, and it's David Feldman. He also does the Joey High and David Feldman present. Yeah.
Yeah.
They do that, so I'm trying to get them to do that, because you know what? It's different. Maybe it doesn't have the top names in any sport, or the it's just not the same thing. It's different. There's all different kinds of gimmick bouts. It's like pro wrestling, but real. You can't pull a steel chair out or do a fucking... Oh, I'm sorry for dropping the F-bomb, but no, you can't do a Rude Awakening 1980s...
Are you
kidding
me, man?
Rude,
you just
apologize
for fucking swearing?
Well, yeah, you know, fucking seems a little harsh. Like, I'll say other curses, but, you know, you drop the F-bomb.
No, man. Well, and GFL does promote some really great wrestling shows that do use chairs, and that's perfectly fine for that environment. But, like, one of the promotions here in Michigan, WXC, actually it was a different name back then. It was, like, MCL or something. Anyway, they pulled off what was called TAP, Team MMA. And it was Tag Team MMA. But what happened is the first one to tap or get knocked out, then their partner had to come in and finish the round against the guy that just tapped
Holy
the
shit.
Other guy out. And then whoever won that round, whoever was the last team standing won. That's how it worked.
Well, I heard rumors that they were going to try that at the tribal land, too, because they were going to do it down in Yuma, Arizona, which is like the devil's armpit of the United States.
Oh, Jesus Christ, yeah.
First place
I used to live
ever
out in Tucson for like 6 years, bro. I used to cruise those areas a lot, man. But, yeah, the Yuma casino used to always throw wrestling shows. I remember the Masters of Disaster, the Hurricane, and freaking, what was the other dude's name? Wrestling guys, man. Freaking Earthquake and Hurricane or something like that, man.
Earthquake and Typhoon and Natural Disasters.
Yeah, man. They actually, I think it was their promotion or something like that.
Don't
and they
judge
were always
me for
out there.
That either, guys.
No, you're okay. It's a we forgive you, bro. MMA wouldn't exist without wrestling, man. You know,
hey,
look,
I agree. I said it a lot on anybody who knows me, dude. One of my all-time favorite fighters who stepped out of the game to go into Japanese wrestling is Heath Herring, man. I mean, dude, the guy's a phenomenal fighter. I don't give a shit what his record is. The guy's a badass. And,
dude,
you know, he made that choice.
I remember when Ken Shamrock, he came over from the UFC, WWE, and then he went back to the UFC and lost to Rich Franklin. It basically ruined my life when I was a kid. I didn't know what the fuck was going on. I was like, he's the world's most dangerous man. What is going on? And then years later, he's just shot to shit. Great dude. Don't get me wrong. It's a shame that he still has to fight.
Speaking of Frank Shamrock, have you guys been watching that Bellator reality show kicking off?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I haven't got a chance.
That's all I got to say on the subject.
Yeah, GSL needs to come out with a reality show.
You want one? I'll give you one.
You know,
all you
gotta
do is
guys
ask, bro.
On the East Coast, from like Rain Combat, TFFC, get them all to join the house, have teams. I think it would be good. Somebody just has to give us $1 million to produce it. Skippy, can you jump on that? Or no,
I,
you know, that
I
guy,
jump on
the guy
that.
From Clench, he's probably a millionaire. He's got those dope ass mouth cards. So, yo, Jeff, can I get like a mil?
I'll talk to Skippy about it.
You talk to Skippy about it. See, once again, the Jew has all the power.
Skippy
now,
won't even approve $25 a month for me from Clench. So, you know, you ain't getting nothing. You ain't getting nothing.
Me and Muggs will partner up.
Yeah, man. No, I'm all about it. And, you know, just unity and united fucking we stand, you know. I mean, there's no way that, you know, and you got to understand that my premise for my broadcasts are completely uncensored, bro. My commentators talk about whatever the hell they want to talk about. They, you know, they rip on fighters if the fighter looks stupid. If you're a pro fighter walking into some janky pro promotion and you got Nike shorts on, you're going to get made fun of because you walked into a pro fight with Nike shorts on. Okay?
I think you got to get me and Skippy out there to throw down on some commentating.
My man Butcher straight up said on a live broadcast at a pro event, a fighter walked in with Nike shorts on, and my man Butcher flat out on the mic goes, I didn't know Michael Jordan was sponsoring fighters now, but there's a first for everything.
Now, that's the worst when you see like for me, when I see a boxer come out in a pair of mesh shorts and a pair of Jordans on, I'm like, Jesus.
Yeah.
Well, we all know who's going to win this fight.
You know, we have a lot of good guys, bro. There's a lot of force to work together on, man. I mean, I got Darren Cruikshank coming on all the time. I got Dom O'Grady hitting the mic with me all the time, and old Harley Sweet Wallen, and freaking, you know, Drew Murray and the whole Murray clan, Rick Murray and all that whole fighting clan out of Michigan. And, like, there's a lot of old-time, like, famous, like, you know, at least deep in the industry, I should say.
Right.
You know, guys
so
that come onto our shows and just have fun, man, huh?
Being out of Michigan, what's your thoughts on Grand Rapids own Floyd Mayweather?
Floyd's cool, man.
I always wanted to hear a Michigan guy's perspective on this. Because, you know, he gets a lot of love and hate.
Well, let me put it this way, bro. In the boxing world, he gets a lot of love. But other than that, man, his presence has no real impact. He does a lot of good things for the community in his area, and he dishes out a lot of cash, you know what I'm saying? So he does a lot of good that way. And other than that, man, his presence really doesn't have a good or bad annotation, period, man. Nobody really does. My man, the Butcher, went down and interviewed him just a little while ago.
I would have loved to see him, you know, stick out for his home state, throw some money into the Kronk gym, and keep that place going.
There's talk, man. There's talk. But, see, the problem is sanctioning. Pro level, yeah, Michigan's okay, and I usually have to discuss this with at least one person every time I come on. But, you know, there's no sanctioning in Michigan, but it's okay to have amateur events. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So they're running unified – You guys are in for a treat, GFL, because my promotions run. They run unified rules on AMIs. You're allowed everything but noon to sixes.
We've had this talk before. I don't have a problem with it. I think if you're going to be a fighter, let them get in there and fight. You know, whether they're AMI and pro. I mean, you know, to me personally, I understand the progression in some states from, you know, puffies to pro, but I don't believe that really helps the fighter determine if this is the right kind of career, and let alone get completely ready to be a pro. When you say you can't elbow,
not
you can't
all.
Kick, if these kids want to do this and these young men and ladies want this as a profession, they need to know what they're biting that apple right away. They don't need to wait till, well, man, I'm 11-0 with pads and no kicks to the head. I'm going pro, and then, boom, they get whooped by elbows, and they're like, what happened?
Well, it's like boxing, too. You go from three or four two-minute rounds with headgear on, they're going in bigger gloves, they're going in there with smaller gloves, longer fights, and no headgear. And I feel bad every time, like, you're talking to an amateur about to go pro, and he's like, oh, man, what's it feel like to get punched without headgear? I'm like, well, you should have been realizing that in the gym. You know what
mm-hmm.
I mean? Because you're in for a rude awakening. Like, you got
to
be prepared.
What's it feel like to get
step?
Kicked without shin guards on, man?
Exactly.
You know, I feel bad for them kids in Florida, bro. I got guys up here that are willing, like, they'll drop on a dime to go down to Florida and fight a chump. And that's how they look at it up here, too, bro. This is like the school of hard knocks. These AMIs are taking full-on blows, and they'll go down and take a state like Ohio that's got soft rules, or Pennsylvania, I think, has real soft rules. Like, you have to keep your gear on until you get down into a grappling position, and then you can take your gear off. I think it was Pennsylvania.
And then a lot of disqualifications happen when you go state to state with different rules. But like, I like what boxing is doing right now, where they have that World Series of Boxing. They make different countries have franchise teams, and like, these guys still get paid, but they still have eligibility to be in the Olympics, and they're fighting without headgear. It's like a middle ground. It's like a purgatory, let's say, for a boxer. Now you got hell, which is amateur boxing, pro, which is heaven,
right,
or vice versa, however you want to look at it. Then you got this middle ground
back,
where you
let's
can still
back
get paid
on why
a little
we
bit.
Started this. You were asking about Mayweather, man. If he donated in the community, and I told you, because of sanctioning, that's hard. And the reason that is everything we just discussed, man. The rules are raw, and nobody wants to get behind it. And your wholesome companies that would normally sponsor events that are sporting events, because these sanctioned states have puffy pads, and, you know, the kids ain't getting hurt, you know. But in Michigan, they do, and most of our sponsors won't come on board. That's why we have dispensaries and compassion centers as sponsors, and tattoo shops, and, you know, bars and things like that, because they don't mind putting their label on us. You know,
tell them, don't be scared, homie.
Don't be scared.
Hold on, as far as those rules,
you know, we just recently started implementing some of those rules, and I'm real close to the action, and I tell you, people are still getting their asses kicked. Shin pads are not, 6 ounce gloves are not. They're still getting knocked the fuck out. I don't see very little difference. What I actually see is guys taking more damage because of the pad. And the kicks are harder because you're not holding back. You don't have that little bit that you hold back. With shin pads on kicking, you just throw with reckless abandon everything you have. Otherwise, you hold a little bit back. And so I've just seen really people getting their ass kicked more with the safety equipment. So I don't know.
That's
another problem. They have to go all out. They don't know how to limit themselves after with that transition we're talking about from amateur to pros.
Yeah, they feel like they got to go a little above 100% to kick harder with those shin guards and to punch harder on that guy that's got a headgear on. You know, I mean, they feel like they got to hit harder to get their point across. Because if you can knock out a guy with a headgear on, man, you're definitely going to be considered a badass, you know.
Oh, no.
Fighters, without a doubt, need a union. They need to get, you know, specific rules, countrywide, set pay. You know what got me the other day was Tim Kennedy's interview with Sherdog, where he was just basically bashing the UFC pay rate.
No, UFC sucks.
Oh, where the fuck is Lapaki when you need him, man? This guy would go off right now. His whole mentality about it is fighters should hold out and force other organizations to fight each other for the fighter. And, you know, he makes a valid point, you know, don't sign a long-term contract. Sign a one- or two-fight deal and say Legacy or XFC or MFC or M1 or UFC, whoever pays me the best is going to get me for two fights, you know? And I kind of agree. You know, these fighters, the UFC right now to them is the ultimate goal, but I don't believe it's the only place to fight and make a career and get paid. I know for a fact that money at some of the organizations is on level with the UFC, you know, if their management works the right deals. So, you know, I don't know. I think opinion maybe. Go ahead.
Or something. Let's take boxing, for example. Okay, you got this guy in China, an Olympian. He made his pro debut. He got paid $300,000 for a four-round pro debut. Now, say you got your average Joe in, like, Oklahoma who trains his ass off, didn't have a great amateur background or could even get amateur fights, trains in a garage but trains his ass off doing two or three a days. He'll make his pro debut if he's fighting. Like, if he just comes onto a promoter's card, he'll get overmatched significantly against a guy with experience to get him a win, and they'll pay him anywhere between $200 and $400 for the fight. The difference is just, it's ridiculous.
Well, Jeff, I believe he could answer this better than I could, but you guys probably all know Emerald Queen Casino Boxing Battle at the Boat. They're right around their 100th event over 11, 12 years.
Hell of an event.
Oh, yeah, I believe not. Two events ago, and Jeff, correct me if I'm wrong, bro, but probably 40% of that card was MMA fighters?
6 out of 10 fights.
Oh, 6 out of 10,
wow. Were either of you guys at that card?
I wasn't.
No, I wasn't.
Okay, so my boy Zach Cooper fought, and he had a draw. I was wondering if you guys... Yeah, he's a part of our show. He comes on our shows and helps interview people on the radio. He's got a Mayweather gym, but he fought and he got a draw. I didn't get to see the fight, but I was just wondering if you guys remember the fight, and if so, was it really a draw or did he kind of get screwed from the judge's scorecard?
I think it was really a draw. Just different people like different things, but you know, overall, wasn't a bad call.
Okay.
I don't like draws because I think the decision should be able to be made. Judge's job is to make a decision, so I make a decision every time. I don't believe in saying anything. And in the federations that I actually rep for, two of them, we don't allow draws. So if the fight ends in a draw, you go to a fourth round to see who wins. So I'm not down with the draws much.
Oh, that's sweet. Yeah,
yeah.
Well, I mean, it would be much easier avoided if they did five rounds, for MMA, four-round fights, that would be harder. Three-round fights, there really shouldn't be a draw. But for boxing, like 3, 5, 7, 9, 11, or 13, like an odd number would make it a lot harder to get a draw other than even numbers.
All it takes is one foul. It's one foul, one point being taken away.
A foul, a knockdown. It makes a difference, but it's a lot less likely to get a draw than have an even number rounds.
Yeah, well, most of the time when there's a draw, it's that fouls.
But back to the original point was, you know, boxing and the pay is not only, I think, better, you know, scale for a fighter than MMA is right now, because we're seeing, especially here in the Pacific Northwest, we're seeing a lot of MMA guys go into boxing because the cards are, you know, honestly, they're put on every other month at the Emerald Queen Casino. They do 6 events a year for boxing, but boxing throughout the Pacific Northwest, ESPN was just up here, I think, 3 weeks ago. We had some guys that were MMA fighters on those cards. You know, kickboxing starting to make a big, and Thai fighting starting to make a big comeback, and pros are getting paid decently in both of those sports.
Well, if you remember KJ Nunes, he took a break from Strikeforce for a little while to become a pro boxer.
Yeah. Yeah. And the paydays. I gotta touch on this.
What's going on with Roy Jones and Anderson Silva now?
I'll be honest, I saw a little clip of it, but I think it's a joke.
Maybe he's jealous over that picture of him making out with that fucking guy he's fighting tomorrow. The fuck is with that picture?
No, Anderson Silva's been calling out Roy Jones for a boxing fight for years. And now, granted, Silva does have some boxing experience. He's 1-1, I think, as a pro boxer. But he's been calling him out. He wants to fight him in a boxing fight. He wants that challenge. Not that it's much of a challenge at this point, because Roy Jones has been pretty much shot for the past 10 years. But now it looks like Dana White's like, all right, we can make this fight happen. But you know Dana White. He's going to try to make it an MMA fight to where he can embarrass a completely shot boxing legend and have him be completely outmatched in the octagon. Because there's no chance in hell in an MMA fight that Anderson Silva loses to Roy Jones unless he gets that freak lucky punch. And I don't even think Jones has the power at this point to keep him off of him. In a boxing fight, though, you know, it evens the grounds. It's different rules. I think even boxing fans and boxing experts will say Roy Jones will massacre him in a boxing fight. Personally, I think it's a 50-50 fight. Boxing. In MMA, it's like 99% to 1%. But I just think it's kind of ridiculous because I know Dana White is bringing Roy Jones to the fight to watch, have him watch from ringside. But as MMA fans for I'm an MMA fan, but I'm a bigger boxing fan. You guys are boxing fans, bigger MMA fans. Do you feel it would be a complete disgrace to have Anderson Silva fight Roy Jones Jr. in the future in an MMA?
Yeah, I'd say either way, it's a stupid fight either way. First of all, like you touched on, this isn't, you know, Roy of 10 years, 12, 13 years ago, okay? Second of all, dude, it does nothing for either sport other than, like you said, make people look like jackasses. I think it's a carnival sideshow, and I don't think we need it in the sport for either one of them. At MMA, yeah, Anderson fucks him up quick, okay? Boxing, I believe, traditional straight-up boxing rules in a ring, Anderson loses a decision in 11 rounds, you know? But, you know, that's just because Anderson is not the technical boxer that Roy is.
I think it's stupid for one reason alone. Roy is not actively pursuing an MMA career, and neither is Silva actively pursuing a boxing career. It is just a fucking exhibition, stupid match. And it's two
like
points.
Couture versus Tony.
It's entertainment.
Yeah.
What's wrong with entertainment?
There's nothing's wrong with entertainment. But we're actual people, bro. And the people that... Ooh, I almost said something horrible, man. This is the Rogue Show, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so the people that normally, like, watch and just watch to watch because they just watch, and then there's fans, and then there's freaking guys like us that are, you know, we eat, breathe, sleep, sweat. Where, you know, I'm up at 2:30 in the morning talking on a show on the West Coast, you know, and you know what I mean, man. But for the regular fan, it's fine entertainment. For diehards like us, man, we can see the gimmick behind it, and we're pissed that they're not donating that money to our shows. You know what I'm saying? It's all.
And I think this all stems back from when Ray Mercer knocked out Tim Sylvia in 13 seconds. Ever since then, Dana White's been trying to get shot boxing legends into the ring with MMA fighters like he did with James Toney, Randy Couture. James Toney got paid somewhere between $500K and $750K to lose and disgrace boxing by not coming in shape, not giving a shit, and just coming into the ring and trying to beat Randy Couture. When they could have made a much more entertaining fight between James Toney and Kimbo, at the time, who was on the UFC payroll, but instead they try matching him up. Now, even if they try to bring Roy Jones in against and have him fight a tune-up MMA fight first, Roy Jones will lose. Unless you literally dig up some 0-16 Arkansas fighter to fight Roy Jones, there's no way a MMA fighter that trains full time would lose to him at this point.
Let
alone a number one pound for pound fighter in the world.
I'd fight him and I'm retired. And go hold him.
What was that?
Well,
I couldn't hear you.
I said I'd fight him and I'm old and retired. I just think you take them that far out of their element, it's a whole different ballgame.
But, you know, but that's the thing is, at what point, even if you do take them out of their element, does age play a factor in this? You know, a legitimate factor for this guy? Because, let's be honest, he is, I mean, look, Anderson Silva is not a young chicken. He ain't 22, folks, but what's Roy? In his 40s? Late 30s?
44 years old. He hasn't 44. Been in his prime for the past 10 years. Like, once he got knocked out by Tarver, he was never the same. And then over the years, his speed went away. His reflexes went away. I remember his last fight, I think it was his last fight, he fought some, like, just average Joe in Poland in a 10-round fight. Got dropped once and barely won a split decision. And this was a guy that in Roy Jones' prime, he would have knocked out with, like, a trick punch in the first round.
Yeah, and but see, that's the thing is, you know, you a fighter, and we talk about this all the time. Fighters don't, you know, sometimes know when it's, you know, if they're really done. And when you see a guy at one time who was pound for pound the world's best losing to 140 ranked fighter in his weight class, let's be honest, it's time. Or even if you're squeezing out a close decision, it's time.
And there should be no even talk about, after a fight like that, for him getting in a ring to fight anybody, let alone an athlete who's in the, you know, the position he is right now in his life, and that's physically in his prime. That's just, it's a gimmick fight. I think it's stupid.
I think it's a disgrace. I think for Dana White to put that on. Now, if he puts somehow gets a boxing fight sanctioned on a UFC pay-per-view, and you know what? That's a little bit evening up the paper, the playing field. But if you put this version of Roy Jones in the ring, you know, even with a mid-carder, a preliminary fighter in his prime that's fully trained in MMA, he's going to squash Jones. But to put him against Anderson Silva, that honestly, for a commission to sanction that, that would be ludicrous.
I agree.
That'd be horrible. But if it's boxing, I like the fight. But if it's MMA, I don't like the fight.
I remember, do you remember when Nick Diaz was kind of in limbo with MMA? This was before he signed the UFC. He was actually going to turn pro in boxing to fight the former super middleweight champ, who actually lost to Jones not too long ago, and Jeff Lacy. I was completely against that for a fact that Nick Diaz was making his pro boxing debut and he didn't know what he was getting himself into to fight even a guy like Lacey, who was just known for one punch, and that was that left hook, and he won a title based off of that left hook. So to put him even past his prime and put him in the ring with Nick Diaz for his pro debut, it would have been insane. Like what they were going to do when I touched a little bit ago on Tim Sylvia versus Ray Mercer. That was originally supposed to be a boxing pro debut for Tim Sylvia, and they changed it. They wouldn't sanction boxing for those two to fight because, you know, Mercer, even though he was 48 years old, he was a former heavyweight champion of the world. But they turned around and they were able to sanction it MMA, even though Mercer had only one amateur MMA fight and he was tapped out by Kimbo back in CFFC, back in the day. But they sanctioned it to MMA and he still got knocked out.
See, look,
which is crazy.
If we're talking, honestly, if we're talking somebody along the lines of a top level striker in the K1 kickboxing world or in the Muay Thai world who maybe has
a year or two of Brazilian jiu-jitsu or wrestling in his, you know, repertoire, nothing he did as a profession, but something he just dabbled in, I would feel a lot more comfortable if they came over into the MMA world than I would just a straight boxer. To me, it's apples and oranges, man, so much. I mean,
I think it's a lot harder for a grappler or an MMA fighter. I had this discussion with a friend the other day, and it's really hard for a trained, seasoned MMA fighter to move into boxing. And
how about
Riddick
Bowe moving into Muay Thai not too long ago?
But what I've seen that's almost even harder is like my man Chad Rouse. He's been boxing since he was like 7, and he's like 20-some now. And he come into MMA, bro, and he went from boxing to working with Quincy Rice, who is a mad school judo's instructor, man. And this kid just cannot seem to get it in his head. I need to attack. I need to go down to the ground. I need to take this person down. He's constantly just trying to box. Constantly. You know what I mean?
But, you know, look, I mean, I know Jeff has had the chance to work with and be around, just like the rest of us, a lot of guys who come from one base to the other. And look, if you've got a wrestling base, it seems to be the dominant thing today in most of the fighters coming up. But I feel, you know, that's fine because these guys are traditionally going to take you down and smother you. But I'd prefer to see more guys coming out of a full striking style with legs and kicks and not just come from wrestling where they smother or just boxing where they don't know how to take down or stop a takedown. You know, I'd like to see guys who actually can get in there and, you know, are smart with kicks and know how to work them in and out quick to keep from getting that leg grabbed and getting taken down. Guys who can use their jabs well as, you know, to back people up. I think, personally, that I see ground guys, traditional wrestlers, have a tougher time taking on the striking game sometimes than I do full-blown, you know, Muay Thai fighters taking on Brazilian jiu-jitsu. It could just be me. That's just my opinion.
Yeah, it's just your opinion.
Yeah.
Hey, coincidentally, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
That's right. Look, no matter what you're doing, whether you're, you know, doing kickboxing, grappling, jiu-jitsu, boxing, as long as you're wearing a clinch custom mouth guard, you're fine. You'll be safe.
Fuck.
Yeah, well, Riddick Bowe would have won his Muay Thai debut. He would have been able to absorb those kicks if he just had that clinch custom mouth guard in.
Well, but and if he would have walked out in his custom MMA Madhouse shirt. But he didn't walk out in his MMA Madhouse shirt, so therefore
he lost. I think the biggest reason he lost, well, the biggest reason he lost is because they weren't on GOAT GFL. Yeah, well, the biggest reason he lost is because he wasn't on GFL TV.
Do you know how hard that is, Jim? That is so hard, man, because it's .TV. And it's the same for me, bro. I'm trying to tell everybody. It's acslive.tv. And they're like, hey, dude, he just said it's on, like, acslive.com. It's like, no, that's a fucking internet.
Oh, my God.
And I was like, it's not .com, you fucker. Watch me.
I mean, it's
dumbass.
Broadcasted. It's broadcasted. It's events broadcasted. Just, it makes sense to be .tv, people.
It seems like it. So what did I do? I went out. You know what I did, Tim?
Yeah.
Tim, are you still there? You know what I did?
Yeah, I'm here.
I went and bought 2 domain names, and I bought every variation of them. And I bought thebestdamnmma.com. Because when you want to come watch me fucking in my broadcast, you just go to thebestdamnmma.com. It's all you got to do. And if you can't remember that, then you don't deserve to watch MMA anyway. So you just go to thebestdamnmma, and you will see all of ACS Live's broadcasts brought to you through GFL every week, baby. Every week.
Well, we originally used to be just GoFightLive.tv, but apparently it got too confusing for some of our customer base, so we had to shorten that up to just GFL.tv.
Yeah. Yeah, I just find that the .TV was screwing with too many people, so I bought all the variations of thebestdamnmma.com and all the variations of just bestdamnmma.com. So no matter what, if people just type that into their Google search, they'll find me, damn it, you know?
dude.
Just saying.
Oh, man.
Just
I
saying. I'm
it.
Not trying to plug myself. I just, you know.
Are you guys done hugging each other tonight?
Yeah.
What the fuck?
All you got to do is Google ATG Radio or Tim Cudjus or Frank Steya, and you'll get ATGRadio.com. ATG Radio, some of the best boxing talk on the planet. I'm not trying to plug it or anything, but I'm just saying.
And don't forget, every Wednesday night, Madhouse Live. You guys should check that out because I hear they have a great
Madhouse.
Show.
Skippy, come on. Stop with the shameless plugging, bro. Nobody else is plugging their stuff, and you're just all out here plugging Madhouse Live.
Well, it's not like I brought up that we have Full Guard Fight Radio on Saturday night and Cage Fight Radio on Tuesday night as well. And I didn't touch on the fact that we have Cage Zombie Radio out of Florida every Thursday. I mean, you know, I could have brought that
well,
up.
Just like brought up ATG Radio, it's not like I brought up our wrestling show on Sundays, Top Rope Radio. I didn't bring them up at all, even though they have some of the best guests in wrestling and awesome pro wrestling trivia. I didn't bring that up and mention that. But, no, all right, Skippy, here's my idea for this show. From now on, I mean, we're going to give out some pay-per-views. I'll give you guys 2 pay-per-views to give out at your disposal. But what we got to start doing maybe every Friday or every other Friday for like 15 minutes, 2 fans come on and battle head-to-head in MMA trivia for a free iPay-per-view.
I love it. I love it. I love it.
That sounds
great
pretty
idea.
Awesome.
Yeah, because we can really see all these people who want to tweet at us and play Keyboard Warriors. Come on, you know, we'll get them to come on here and battle it out.
So let's try it for next Friday. We'll tweet about it. We'll pick out two people to go head-to-head, and they'll battle it out for a free iPay-per-view.
I like it. I love it.
Fine. Who the fuck watches their card this time of night?
That guy that you're watching watch his car?
My wife. What the fuck?
And if the person's from the East Coast, they get a bonus trivia point because they're staying up till 2-3:30 in the morning.
No. Yeah.
That's what we'll do.
Yeah.
We'll hook them up. East Coast will get a point. You know, it's like a start on a car race.
We've got enough East Coast bias. Let's just throw some more in there.
Chris, are you guys, Chris Gregory and I got to start just working together on our own Midwest show thing going on.
And if you're wearing any MMA Madhouse apparel or Clinch Custom mouth guard or both, you automatically just win.
I like the rules.
There's no way somebody's beating that anyway.
Hey, and Mugs, dude, you're more than welcome, man. You know, we own topics, man. So if you want to partner up with Chris, we would support that.
Oh, really, man? Like, you know, like,
yeah.
I don't know the full network of MMA Madhouse. I just like Skippy because I like saying Skippy. So I clung to the Madhouse by proxy of a man named Skippy Cohen, and now I'm getting to know the whole crew. And it's been about, shit, man, we've been bullshitting with each other for well on a year now, you know. I mean, that's cool.
Yep.
You know, and now we're really starting to work things out. You know, I'm kicking you guys down some, you know, a little fun, little sponsor time, you know, and I love it, man, because I love what you guys do. There's a show on Monday nights that I won't even say the name of but I know, I'll tell you this, my buddy Butcher, he works on that show, so you have to go find my buddy the Butcher, Dave the Butcher Clifford, in order to find that show. But the guy that runs that show is a complete fucking asshole to me all the time, so I don't fucking do shit for that motherfucker. And all I know is he ran a fucking MMA promotion called Blue Blood MMA, and whatever his name is what it is. And that promotion could be anywhere in the country and pertains to no specific person in general. That's my disclaimer.
I love you just
saying. Everybody is Googling Blue Blood MMA right now.
Dude, I tried to do so. Okay, look, man. All right, Tim, maybe you'll relate. Okay, you guys want to know the story behind why I hate the guy? Because I did everything I could to make it right. and he wouldn't accept it. You know what I'm saying? I went out, I'm on the Mississippi motherfucking river, almost in Iowa. There's no fucking internet for like 2,000 feet, okay? He expects me to run a cable that doesn't exist 2,000 feet. I'm like, dude, call your cable company. Fucking have them drop a 2,000-foot damn cable, dude. It's like, I just told you I'm driving from Michigan to come out here. So I was like, okay, so you didn't have any internet. That's not my problem, and I'm sorry you're not having a live event. Okay, but we're still going to tape this thing like it's live. We're going to give it to you like that. Cool, man? He's like, yeah, cool, man. So this thing's on the middle of July, blazing heat. My cameras are hating it. The mat is the worst color in the world, and the contrast was totally messing with the lenses and everything, man. So the video was a little shitty. Okay, I'll say it frankly. The video was a little shitty. All right? but still, I got the job done. And to boot, now this was a couple Julys ago. And I told the guy, you know what, man, I understand what you're trying to do. If there's anything I can do to make it up, because, you know, the internet wasn't there, you lost out on some customers, I'll tell you what, I'll do some free advertising for your radio show, man. I'll start recording your audio and put it to video so that you guys can have, like, video YouTube stuff. And I gave him all these ideas, man. I was going to start him a website, and he went with someone else. And all of a sudden he tells my boy, the butcher, I need to find a way to make up to him. And I've given him like $10,000 in free freaking marketing, dude. And like, I'm just like, oh my God, do you know how many hours I spent freaking editing your videos? And I went to Bellator for the guy, man. I hate Bellator. Why would I want to go to Bellator? I'm lying. So I went to Bellator and did some photos for the guy. But yeah, it was on a pinch too, man. He only gave me like a 2-day notice. You know what I'm saying? Then he didn't consider that enough of a favor. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, come on, man. You know, so fuck him. I'm not mentioning his show no more. It's just bullshit. You can only do so much.
So he knows everybody at MMA Madhouse, ATG Radio, and GFL hate him.
Well, thanks, we all got you back. Board.
Hey, guys, I hate to do this, but my phone's about to die, so I got to jump off. Muggs, Jeff, pleasure to meet you guys and talk to you guys. Not actually meet you, but over phone meet you, which is, nowadays.
Make sure you contact me, Tim.
We'll do. Skippy, you got to get me his contact info. And Skippy, man, always a pleasure.
All you got to do is type in Keystroke Guru or Muggsy into Facebook, M-U-G-G-Z-I-E, Muggsy.
I'll shoot him all your information, Muggs.
Yeah.
I'll shoot him all your information.
Well, I was just going to see how lazy he is, man, if he would type my name in or not.
Super lazy. But, yeah, Skippy, Skippy, you got two iPay-per-views at your disposal for all the Madhouse fans,
cool.
However you want to give them out. Guys, honestly, this was fun. I expected to come on for 15 minutes, and it turned into almost 2 hours. It's a great time. Got to come back on next week. We got to do that head-to-head trivia to give out a free pay-per-view. We got to keep this rolling. Look out for Muay Thai Madhouse coming soon this fall.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
Once again, guys, thanks for having me on. Muggs,
I'll
Jeff,
talk to you soon,
pleasure.
Brother.
And I'll talk to you guys later. Have a good one.
You as well, Tim.
Yeah, shit, guys. I can't believe 2 hours has flown by like it has. We got about 10 minutes left of live air. Dude,
everybody,
man.
I usually peter out
like,
by now.
Dude, well, look, I mean, what a group, dude. Clinch Custom Mouth Guards. We got GFL. We've got ACS Live TV, or the best damn MMA.com. Dude,
isn't that so much
easier?
Yeah.
Dude, it's legit, dude. I mean, I like it. The best damn MMA.com, dude. It just goes off. I mean, what, you know, honestly, what a great fucking group of guys tonight. What a great show. And, folks, tomorrow, we'll figure out a way. We'll give out the two pay-per-views for everybody so that you fans can watch some events. But tomorrow, don't forget, man, free all day, Crimson City Fight League. You don't want to miss that. And before that even kicks off, you can go watch Ring of Combat 31 for free to get you ready for Crimson City Fight League. Then,
hell yeah.
You guys can follow MMA Madhouse for live results from Cage Sport 25.
That's going to be sick.
You gonna get those from Northwest Boxing? Where are you gonna get those?
Hey, I would like to, first of all, everybody publicly, I'd like to state that at this time, I'm no longer friends with Clinch Custom Mouth Guards for saying the dirty words he just said on my show. I thought we were friends. Dude, look, I know we're unedited, but there's certain words
that,
you
Jeff.
Can't say. Wow. That's like kicking my kid. Wow. I hope you're happy.
I thought you said the fucking stuff. You said Lopaki was covering Cage Porter, right?
Yeah, he's supposed to be.
Well, isn't that where he gets his results? It's not my fault. I'm just saying.
Dude. Hey, I think that could be where he gets his results. I noticed that all the interviews that they put up are just ridiculously similar to the ones he does.
Yeah. Yeah, they ask him, when's the best time to take a shit? What's your next meal?
I hate regurgitators, dude. I'm sorry we're almost out of time, but that's one of my biggest pet peeves is regurgitator fucking pages, dude. There's these kids here in Michigan that want to get in the scene, and they want to take over my work here in the state. And I'm like, look, I've already sifted through all the good and bad promoters. If you want the shit bags, go ahead and, you know, pick them up. But, you know, fucking all they do, they call themselves Michigan Cage Chronicles. Michigan Cage Chronicles, man, what is that thing in your head? Bro, I'm going to go there and I'm going to see, you know, whatever's going on in Michigan. All it is UFC, I don't even like saying their name, is the ultimate fucking cheaters, you know, regurgitated news all over the place. That's all they do, dude. And I was like, you guys
we
are
call
so
it verbal
phony.
Diarrhea.
It's like, you guys are so phony, dude. I love blowing out guys like that that are starting these pages and think that they're all like, oh, dude, man, I'm all about it. And no, you're not. You don't even know any local fighters. You don't know anybody, man. You don't even know what you're doing here. All you know that you're doing is, like, starting a Facebook page, and you think that's cool. It's not, bro. Get your feet dirty, man. Get your fingers freaking, you know, get your feet wet.
Hey, it's funny you say that. Look, just results from the last, just recently, dude. You know, obviously, we got Cage Corp coming up tomorrow, which we're going to do, but we did AFC. We did Pro FC 49 from Russia. We did Pinnacle Fighting Championship in Florida. We did Rain FC last week in Seattle area. Dude, the GWC 1 in Indiana, Havoc at the High Five, man. I mean, dude, it goes world-class fighting, Indiana Fighting Championships, you know, fight Epic Fight Night. I mean, just it goes on and on and
right.
on. I mean, take on Muay Thai.
And out of what? Let's just give them a general 100,000 pay-per-view subscribers on UFC, right? On a UFC event, maybe 100,000 people. And how many of them even know that there's these badass little promotions out there that they could go to their local and support their local fighters and watch these guys grow up to become the big pros, you know what I mean? And it's just sad that, like, a lot of people just ignore it. You got to be a diehard-er, like somebody's aunt, uncle, or a friend of a friend, or, you know somebody that trains in the gym so you know about the fights. You know, I mean, it's really hard to communicate to the public that this is the same thing and it's better, you know?
Oh,
Indiana's got a ton
agree.
Of great stuff going on.
Dude, and Jeff would probably be the first one to agree that if these guys took one pay-per-view away from Zuffa just once a year and dropped it on a local MMA event, whether it's to buy tickets or get the internet pay-per-view, we would see the legitimate promoters out there be so much more successful and actually be able to make a solid promotion that has great fights, that's a safe event, that's seen by fans all over the world, and put money in their pocket.
And create a farming pool for the bigger promotions.
Yep.
Right? Isn't that supposed to be the golden rule? Is that it's not supposed to be UFC does this freaking yearly show and that's their next batch of fighters. That's bullshit. Man, UFC is nothing but an MTV fucking reality show. That's what the whole thing is. It's all staged. It's all bullshit. Bellator is the next best thing. Bellator at least, but now they're starting to catch the freaking bug, man. And it's like, come on, guys, you know, don't do it. You know, we don't need another reality show, bro. We just like the fact that you just put people in their fight. You know, and you run cool little, like, you know, and that was going to be my next big thing, and then they had to throw this freaking reality show out there. So now what do we got? Now I got my, now I'm just going back to being a homeboy. We're coming back to our hometown stuff, man. I can't stand the big dogs anymore, man. They're all a bunch of showboaters.
Yeah, dude, I'll tell you what.
Sorry.
I totally agree. You know, you guys know I'm a big, huge fan of local MMA. You know, obviously we all know who the big names are in the UFC. We see it everywhere, you know. So, I mean, I can't say that I don't know what's going on there, but I know more about my local scene than probably 99.9% of the people who tune into Zuffa do in their own local area.
Yeah.
Which is sad. Which is really sad.
Right. You know, like, I honestly am this, I don't even really, like, I mean, you can throw the big guys in front of my face, you know, and I'll know who they are, you know what I mean? And, you know, probably the top 30, top 40 UFC fighters, you know what I mean? But at the same time, the guys that are coming up through the ranks, that kind of thing, I don't have a clue who they are. You know, I can go through and tag every freaking amateur fighter through Michigan, no problem. And, you know, I can tag every last one of them. I know all their faces, and I know all their names. I know their ranks. I know where they're coming from, where, you know, when their wife pissed them off last.
Well, speaking of UFC, we got like 3 minutes left. I know Texas Jeff wants to talk some UFC. He just called in. So I guess we'll talk some UFC for a minute. Muggs, you going to hang out or you going to bolt or what's up? I know you're
back. Yeah, I'll let you guys talk pro talk. I'm amateur combat sports signing out, man.
Hey, mad love. I'll shoot you all that information back and forth in the morning for you guys.
Thank you. It'd be cool to get in touch with Tim and Texas
Jeff.
Hey, Texas Jeff, enjoy your conversation. You guys, I'm headed to bed. Thank you so much. You guys
later,
tune
brother.
In tomorrow night for Prison City on GFL. Later.
Later. Texas Jeff, how you been, brother?
I don't know. I'm pretty tipsy now. I've been drinking the whole time I've been listening to the show. So I don't know. But, you know, I'm doing good. I'm doing good. Fucking. People are trying to talk to me on Skype. At first I was responding, but I'm kind of just there now. You know what I mean?
I do. I believe we have another guy in Texas right now who's probably pretty tore up. He's on the line listening too. So seems to be the theme tonight.
They got some good. They got some good medicine in Texas, man. You know, they take
they
care
do.
Of you. I know my boy takes care of me, so I don't know about everyone else, but there you go.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, he takes care of it. He gets taken care of. When he can, motherfucker can't have fun for a little bit. But yeah, dude.
We all
you know,
been there, man.
That,
you gotta just tell your friend you gotta take the loss to be the boss every now and then, man. Everybody goes through it.
Yeah,
nah, but
yeah. Well, we got you on the phone, dude. Who do you got in the main event? Well, we're at, you know, obviously. That's what everybody out there's talking about. What do you think?
Yeah, which is unfortunate that everyone else, like, I was thinking about this earlier. I don't want to go on. I'm not going to go on a big ass tangent like the last time I called in. You know what I mean? And fucking take over talking for 30 minutes about, you know, a bunch of bullshit. But it sucks when like when you watch, like, I'll just use Bellator as an example. You know, Bellator usually have at least two or three good fights that you're looking forward to. You know what I mean? Like. Or at least that everyone knows about. I would guess that if I was to go to a bar tomorrow to watch the show, which I would never do fucking ever. I've done it one time, and that's enough for me, you know, listening to all those people. But they don't know, not that I know 100% what I'm talking about, you know, but just those kind of people. You know, you guys know what I'm talking about. They would be there for the main event. You know, only the main event. They wouldn't give a fuck about the other nine fights. They wouldn't even know there are prelims. You know what I mean? And I just think it sucks, man, that there's a lot of other people, you know, who fucking trained for a couple months and cut a bunch of weight and went through hell too. You know, not just Weidman and Anderson.
I 100% agree. We were talking about this earlier today, and I think, to me, to go over the whole card, I think the best fight on that card tomorrow is Dennis Seaver versus Cub Swanson. I believe me and Jeff actually last night on the Rogue Show last night, we did the 4th of July special. I believe we even discussed that fight. I think it was last night. But, you know, that's the thing is, you know, there are so many other fighters on here. And this is why we say, folks, you got to get out and support local MMA, because how many of you guys out there know who David Mitchell is? Or Brian Melicon, you know, or Seth Baniski, you know? I mean, Norman Prake, you know, how many of these guys do you know? Well, 6 months ago, a year ago, most of these guys were fighting in your local regional circuit. So, you know, I agree. It's not, you know, the zombies out there are going to be like, this is all about Anderson Silva versus Chris Weidman or whatever the fuck his name is. But, you know, if you look at the whole card
overall,
it's
a fucking shame, man, when you think about it. I mean, it's a fucking shame. I mean, there's, what, 18 other fighters on the card or whatever it is, assuming there's 10 fights like usual or whatever. And it's just about two people, you know what I mean? It sucks, man. I mean, you got, you said, Cub Swanson and Dennis Seaver. Dude, that has Fight of the Night written all over it, you know what I mean? I mean, those two guys are going to go fucking balls to the wall, most likely. You got Mark Munoz and Tim Bosch. I mean, Mark Munoz had a bad last fight. Tim Bosch, I mean, his last fight, you know, I didn't think it was a bad fight. He just, I think he hurt his hand. I think he broke his foot or something. I mean, those are fucking barn burners, man, and people don't give a fuck about them. I mean, if you're like us or like me, and I'm pretty sure you guys do, like, you know, you listen to interviews and stuff like that, and, you know, Mark Munoz, he went through a lot of stuff, you know what I mean, and he had to cut a bunch of weight, but, you know, he had to lose a lot of weight. And, you know, a lot of that, like, there could be more stories than just Anderson Silva's. The people who love stories and love fucking hyping up fights, stuff like that, there could be a lot more than just Anderson Silva's undefeated streak and Weidman's fucking house getting flooded over or whatever, which sucks. But which sucks for him and everything, and I feel for him, and I'm just saying, you know, there's more stories that you could sell than just the main event is what I'm getting at.
Dude, I know, I totally agree, but that's where it comes down to the machine that is Zuffa and the zombies out there, because they don't give a shit unless it's on a 30-minute special the week of the fight. You know, and it's funny because I believe, and people out there think I'm stupid and I don't give a shit, but the UFC, when they do these half-hour promos, I totally believe it. Trey, you will probably back me up on this, from Texas. They do that to change betting lines. They do that to manipulate odds. I truly believe, and I think Trey would agree with me. I should see if he's even still here. Trey, are you still with us?
Huh.
He might be asleep.
He's probably just getting, he's twisting.
No, I'm here, brother. You're
what
next.
Hey, do you think that those half-hour specials are there to mess with the betting lines? Because people don't know the fight
that
way.
Of course. Every time, I mean, they have a countdown or whatever, I mean, you can see it pretty much immediately on the betting lines. And, I mean, you know, they own the casinos. You know, the Zuffa brothers are heavily invested in the casinos. So, I mean, you put two and two together, there you go.
I agree. Yeah. And
I mean, like,
that's the sad.
Yeah, I mean, like, oh, my bad, man. It's just, like, Chris Weidman, he's a good fighter, man. He's a solid fighter. He fucking might prove me wrong tomorrow and win tomorrow. You know what I mean? I mean, it's a fight. Anybody can lose or win anyway. You know, it's MMA. That's why we all love the sport so much. But, I mean, fucking, what, 10 people are really going to say that, I mean, 10 UFC fighters, if they happen to interview, only one or two of them are going to say that Anderson Silva is going to win. You know, really, there's 8 or 9 people who are going to say that Weidman should win. No, Weidman might win, but Anderson Silva should win that fight. You know what I mean? And there's all these people. I mean, George St. Pierre has trained with Weidman or whatever, but a lot of other people saying that, like Frank Mir saying that Weidman's going to shock the world, which, you know, whatever. You hear one or two people say, you say, yeah, maybe. But then you have eight or nine people saying that Weidman's just going to destroy Silva. They really it's possible to say and it's possible to happen, but there's really no – they're basing it off nothing.
Yeah.
It's just people trying to hype the fight, and I can understand hyping fights and stuff like that. Obviously, it's good for business, but I'm just saying, like, it's just baseless.
Anderson has more knockout wins in the UFC than Chris Weidman has wins in his career.
Definitely, exactly. I mean, like, I'm not trying to fucking count out Chris Weidman or whatever, which, I mean, I hope that Anderson wins, and I think that he is going to win, but, I mean, it's just ridiculous to me, man, some of the stuff you hear. Like, I used to go on Sherdog a lot, and I used to post even. But, man, I just got off that shit, man, because it's like every fight, man, people, like, every fight, people are just jumping on bandwagons, and then the guy finally loses, whatever, and then everyone just hates on him, you know what I mean? I've been riding with Michael Bisping since he debuted on Ultimate Fighter. Actually, I saw one of his fights in the UK that my friend had showed me. I can't remember the organization, but he fought. It was actually he lost a decision. It was the first fight he lost, I think, ever. And you know, people need to ride with their fighters or just fucking quit jumping on these bandwagons. I think it just makes the sport fucking look bad, man. All these people, they're just gonna. Whoever's winning at the time, they're just gonna roll with him, and then as soon as he loses, he's a piece of shit. You know what I mean? I mean, look at, like, Overeem 2 years ago was a world beater. Now everyone's hating on him. You know what I mean? It's stupid,
yeah,
man. A lot of fans make it look bad.
Hey, look, me and I know Jeff, and I guarantee you Trey as well. We're firm believers. You know, we understand. You know that. Look, Alistair is a fucking champ. Beast, okay? I don't give a shit if he lost. Dude, it doesn't... I say this all the time. How come 6 months ago everybody in the world said John Fitch was the baddest guy to walk the planet, but then he gets cut from the UFC and he's a piece of shit who was past his prime and he's no good? Really? A piece of paper and a loss make me a shit fighter? What the fuck is wrong with you people? Keith Haring, dude. Great fighter, dude. Badahari, great fighter. Andy Sauer, great fighter. Roman Decker, great fighter. Dude, Fedor Emelianenko, great fighter. All these guys lost at one point in their careers, but because of their time and because of their sport, people don't go, oh, you're a fucking jackal, screw off. They understand fans back then supported fighters who fought, win or lose. Keith Haring didn't have the best record, but you know what? Trey, how many times did that guy leave it all in the fucking ring and cry? You know?
Well, every time.
Even against Brock Lesnar, man, he tagged him hard in the third round. I just watched that fight not too long ago with a friend that I'm trying to get into MMA. And he tagged Lesnar one or two times hard in the third round, man. He'd been taking a beating for 12 or 13 minutes and was still getting up, man, and was still trying, you know what I mean? Still trying to win.
I agree. And the thing is, Heath and guys like him, there's certain guys in the UFC, I believe Bart Palaszewski is one of them, comes in, always ready, always brings the show, win or lose, you know this guy's bringing it, he's going to make it great, he's an enjoyable fighter, you know, to watch, and, you know, I don't get it, it's, you know, why certain fans out there are so close-minded to that, either you're Anderson Silva, GSP, or John Jones, or you ain't shit. I don't understand that. I think that's stupid. There's guys out there like Dave Corshane, badass dude. Most of the planet don't know who he is. The guy's knocked off some big effing names, folks. You guys look him up. Dude, that's just up here in my area, man. I mean, a lot of fans out there still don't know who Anthony Burchak is. He's the murderer at 135. I don't know how many guys at 135 are that good, you know? They can step up with them. You got, I mean, a lot of people. Dude, you got women fighters. You've got men fighters at all levels that are great fighters. Just because they're not in the UFC doesn't mean you shouldn't go out there and watch and support them.
And if they are on the UFC, watch them on the prelims when they're building their career. Support them then. But don't just go in there and say, it's all about John Jones or, you know, GSP or Anderson Silva, because there's more to the fucking sport than that. We have the same thing in football. You have those jackasses who are like, I'm a big Tom Brady fan. You go, what's your favorite football team? I like Tom Brady. Well, no, I asked you what your favorite football team is. Oh, I just think Tom Brady's cool. Really? Why the fuck do you watch the sport then, you jackass?
The fucked up thing, bro, is, and I don't mean to come here and always talk about negative shit, but I mean, 80% of MMA fans are fucking, I don't want to quote Bloodstained Lane, but they're pieces of shit, man. If Anderson loses tomorrow, he's going to be a piece of shit. He was never that good. I told you so. I told you so. When they've been saying that ever since he fought fucking Travis Luter, you know, he was going to lose his next fight. He was going to lose his next fight. And he finally loses. All of a sudden, he's a piece of shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's fucked up, man.
I 100% agree.
It's always those,
agree.
I told you so, guys.
Is.
Yeah, it's always, I told you so, I told you so. And, man, like, honestly, I don't get mad at shit that I read on the internet. Like, I try not to. You know what I mean? But that's why I quit going to Sherdog, man. Because I try to stay zen. I try to stay positive in everything that I do. And it's just shit. Some shit that you read on there is fucking ridiculous. Man, it's fucking ridiculous.
I totally agree. Hey, and while we got a quick second, since we've been doing shameless plugs all night, I want to give a shameless plug to a beautiful young lady named Stormy, who is probably the backbone of the Clinch Custom Mouth Guards Corporation. This woman, day, night, 24/7, is there for the fighters, is there for the team. And I just want, hey, everybody out there, give her some mad love tonight. And just understand that the team at Clinch Custom Mouth Guards is also Stormy. You're a beautiful lady. I love what you do, and I love the passion for the sport you show. So big shout out to you, girl. Folks, I ain't gonna lie, I gotta be at work in like 6 hours. I know it's only a grow shop and I can sit there and hit the bong all day and watch MMA, but I'm gonna get some sleep. Texas Jeff, Trey, Tim at GFL, Muggs, Jeff and Stormy at Clinch Custom Mouth Guards, Chris Gregory's fucking utter butter ass, Lapaki two fisting some fucking tranny in an alley, all you guys, I wanna give a big shout out. You guys all know it's true. If his mom's not tucking him in bed, he's two-fisting a tranny. So with that, I want to play his favorite song in the world on our way out. And where is it? Dude, you guys are going to love this song. This is all him.
Thank you, Skippy.
Hey, yes, ma'am. I got mad love for you. Here's a little song
you guys
for the
party. You guys all have a good night.
Eagle!
Don't drink and drive.
Take heed, because I'm a lyrical poet. Miami's on the scene, just in case you didn't know it. My town that created all the fake sound. Enough to shake and kick holes in the.